Good morning, everybody. It's happy September. Yes, Labor Day weekend. It's a great weekend for sure. And we're so glad to be with you guys. And wasn't worship just amazing? Oh man, so sweet. So sweet. Talking about little packages. And just comes right on out. I've been looking forward to this time, this season, and you know, going through experiencing Freedom Conference and then getting ready for tribe season. I have so been excited about this because I know this is a huge, huge time for all of the body of Christ, trying to figure out where do I get plugged in? How do I get started? How do I get connected? What is it that God has for me in this season? You know, summer is kind of crazy. I'm ready to start getting some rhythm back into my life. And so I look forward to that because I'm a guy who loves rhythms. And I know we flow really well when we're in rhythm. And so I love to see people thrive, love to see people grow, love to see people move from glory to glory and grace to grace. And so I know that that takes disciplines and that takes rhythms in our lives, it takes structure. And while we hate it in mindset, we actually love it because it serves us well. Like rhythms serve us well. Healthy rhythms serve our lives well, and they cause us to be more fruitful and productive. And so I love it. This is one of my favorite seasons of life. I'm just weird like that, but usually it's because of what I get to see out of other people. And it's like being at Freedom Conference. When you're seeing people be set free, like it breaks you. Because that's what you do and why you do what you do, because you're celebrating and you're so tearfully enjoying what they are experiencing, what you've wanted for them. You know you really love and you give whenever you're wanting more for other people than sometimes they want for themselves. And so when they find that moment, oh, it's like heaven has come to earth. And so speaking of heaven coming to earth, you know, you guys, we always looking for more talent and more assistance and helping and supporting other people to cause that to happen right here at Thrive in this room right here. So, on the 28th of September, at the end of this month, we're actually going to have like an open clinic, just kind of a free-for-all fun day where there's going to be an informational and instructional times of every area in this building, this room right here, of just experiential training. So let's say you've ever been interested in, I love worship, but I don't like being on the platform. I don't want anybody to see me. But that's where worship happens, in the back, in the sound booth back there. Worship happens through lights. Worship happens through sound. Worship happens through the media. Worship even happens through video, because we're able to enhance what we do here into the multitudes outside of this room, outside of this state even. There's people that watch outside of the state. And so if you've ever thought, well, how could I help and expand the kingdom of God through this area, through this area of worship and production, that's your inroad right there, September 28th. Also, if you're like, man, I'd love to learn how to play the drums. I like how that little monkey plays over there. And man, you know, we've trained him really well, and if we can train him, we can train you. And so it's not that complicated. He's not here today, so I can say that. Or the little guy on the keyboard over there, you know, the bass, or anything. If you feel like, man, I love to sing, we'll let you know if you can, and then we'll give you an opportunity. But it's going to be a fun day. There's actually going to be breakfast here as well. So it's from 10 to 12 on September 28th. Just come join us. Just check it out. Have some fun with us. And there may be even more things that we're not seeing and that you see. We need a team to help turn over the platform here. We just don't have that yet because we don't have enough moving bodies and moving hands. And so we'd love to invite you into that space. If you're interested, again, if the Holy Spirit's calling you into that, or at least putting a little bit of curiosity on your heart, please be there. But speaking of those things right there, we are in our new series, moving into our new series, which really explains who we are and why we even exist, why we showed up in this county in this season of the church life, and so why we're here and what we do here to serve you and serve the community and live as Thrive. And so our new series that we're in is Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. And I love this word because it really embodies everything that I'm passionate about. As I explained when I first started, the whole idea of people beginning to grow into the fullness of who God's created them to be, that causes me to get excited to find my flow. I feel like I'm in my flow when people are discovering who they've actually authentically been created to be. And so I love that. And everything I do is geared around helping people find themselves in that. So in metamorphosis, I don't know if you know, it's that thing that a caterpillar goes through before it becomes a butterfly. And everybody just loves butterflies, and everybody just wishes butterflies life was like butterflies. It's all rainbows and butterflies and blueberries and whatnot. You know, that's just how life should be. Well, there's a process that life requires in order to get to that part. And I would say that's where most of the body of Christ is, in the middle of that process, that metamorphosis process, thinking I've arrived to butterfly land, but in reality, there's a tension of why am I not living in butterflies? It's probably because you're still in the metamorphosis phase. You're in this phase of transformation, and if we try to rush transformation, we're an incomplete butterfly, our wing isn't big enough, or you know, we don't have the right little sensors to know where we're going, right? And so there's a problem in place. We have to embrace the season that we're in for the time it actually requires. And so I'm going to call this message right here, digestion. Digestion, because I'm going to explain this in this process of metamorphosis because I think that's where most of us are, most of the body of Christ are, because there's four stages. There's one that the caterpillar starts out as an egg, and you did too. You started out as an egg. We don't have to go through anatomy and physiology in this class, but we could, and so just relate yourself, if you will, and then the caterpillar turns, the second stage is the feeding stage. The egg becomes a caterpillar. Now it's pretty. Some are pretty. Some are ugly. Some have a little stingy thing on the back, and whatever the case, however, God uniquely created them, because all people are beautiful. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. But some of you sting a little bit. Some of you, you're a little bit abrupt, might be a little bit insecure. You know, you're a different type. You have a different thing going on with you. You're unique, but God has not created you to be like that. He's created you to be more than that. And so we go from, we're caterpillar, this is our feeding stage, this is where we're just eating and eating, and you know, that caterpillar knows, I've got to get some power and energy and some fuel for me, and usually that's where we come to Christ, and we're in the Word, we're studying, we're getting knowledge and more information, we're Google searching things, and we're looking for information, it's information, and we're getting more information, we got an information overload, because we don't think we're equipped. We need more information. I just need more information. And that we're kind of in this information age. You know, if you're alive right now, you've seen information magnify and multiply times the almost trillions probably with access to information. Now we've got this whole AI thing going, and AI information is going to blow up and go crazy. It's a little intimidating, but we are stuck in, especially us as Westerners, are stuck in an information mindset. We just need more information. I just need more knowledge. If I can just get more knowledge, I'll be ready. Knowledge me. But Jesus had a different plan. Yes, that's important, but he had a different plan. And so you move into this pupa, the third stage of the pupa. Stage. And this is where the transition stage starts to take place. I would say a transformation stage. Because this pupa, it understands, now I've got energy, I've got the knowledge, I've got the information, I've got the fuel I need. And this caterpillar, it understands, I'm full grown, and now it's time for me to go through transition. He stops eating. And this pupa, or chrysalis stage, it starts to find a place that can be protected for the next growth stage. And so it's interesting, it finds a place for covering, it finds a place for protection, because it knows it needs to grow. You know, oftentimes you'll find them in the little corner of something in your house, or outside of your house, or on a leaf, and underneath the leaf, and there it is, under covering, a place to, it can be protected while it grows, while it goes through transformation, while it's in transition, while it's preparing for its next phase of life. Now, the length of that time depends on the species. How long it stays in this chrysalis stage depends on the species. Very interesting. And then stage four, it becomes an adult. That's the reproductive stage. And that's where it longs to be, you know, right? It longs to be in the reproductive stage because it wants to get busy doing something that makes a difference, getting being fulfilled. This transformation stage of metamorphosis is where most believers are now, and that's why. I think we're in this place of being, becoming, so that we can be, and we're frustrated that we may not be yet because God has us in a place of becoming, and we have to learn and to embrace the transitions and the transformation of the becoming phase. And so during that transition phase, the caterpillar actually digests itself. And I would say for us, this is the art of getting over yourself. Because it's hard to move into the adult reproductive phase whenever I'm still stuck on myself. And so that caterpillar has to get over itself so it can become its new self, become what it's intended to be. And so it actually releases these enzymes within the little cocoon that it calls it to dissolve and digest itself. It literally makes itself dissolve. And inside of that are these little, what's called imaginal discs. And they literally survive the digestion process. And they're made up of little cells. It's almost like a little small group that helps you and supports you and strengthens you. Little cell groups that encourage you from one season into the next. If you'll so embrace those cell groups that are there to support your growth. So you may find yourself in a different place of this metamorphosis, but you are in metamorphosis. You are in transition. And some, like I said, take a little bit longer than others. In the beginning phase of this metamorphosis, this chrysalis, there is juvenile hormones found. Then through the process, those juvenile hormones are no longer there. Adult hormones are given to this chrysalis so that it can now further its next steps in becoming what it was created to be. And so it moves from a juvenile into an adult. Through this process of metamorphosis, this process of transformation. Okay. It leads from metamorphosis to reproductive stage, and that is what I would call connecting to purpose and making a difference. It gets to the place where a butterfly realizes, hey, I've only got a short amount of time depending on my species type, and so I better get busy doing something that makes a difference. It has this realization. It has this reality. Now, some of you in your metamorphosis state take a little bit longer than others. Some have been in metamorphosis for 20 years. Some have been in metamorphosis for 30 years. Some have gone on to be with the Lord, yet still in the metamorphosis phase. And I don't think God calls us to stay in the metamorphosis phase. I think in the beginning, He's put something inside of us that causes us to long to get to the place to where we get busy reproducing ourselves and others and doing something that actually makes an eternal difference for the lives of others. And so we have to have a self-realization, understanding that I need to self-assess to see where am I at in this metamorphosis phase, in this transformational phase, and I need to embrace the parts that I've missed because I've been in a hurry. I may have been too haughty. I may have been obstinate. I may have been too proud. I may have been too insecure. I may have been too shy. I may have doubted. Thomas doubted. He was one of the disciples of Jesus. I may have had my own ideas of what it should look like. Whatever the case, whatever your species is, has dictated the length of time for your metamorphosis, the process and the timeline. I could be longing and hungry and passionate for change and transformation, so mine's a little bit shorter. I could be humble and willing. I could be submitted and eager and yielded and trusting the process. I could be whatever it is that causes my metamorphosis to advance so that I can be who I created to be. So there's options. There's choices to make during that transformational period, during your metamorphosis. So how long will you stay in metamorphosis? But this process actually takes an average of 18 months. With you and I, the process will take, on average, no less than 18 months. Now, your 18 months may be, have been spent over 20 years because of where you were as that species understanding, the humility of heart, the willingness, the leadable, the teachability. You fill in the blank. But you may have been over 20 years. Maybe you're ready to start today. But 18 months is how long it actually takes to get to a point where you have some sort of Christ foundation. That doesn't mean you become mature. That means now you're ready to mature. And so what that looks like is the reason it takes 18 months is because you come into Christ. You come to Christ with a barrel of junk, and you're carrying it. And, you know, you come to Christ, you heard somebody say that he was the answer, and so you're saying, you need to fix all my problems right now. You come with lies that you've believed, you've come with doubts and fears, you've come with hurts and traumas that have to be healed, you've come with the truths that you've owned to be supporting and supportive and a strength for you in your time of need. But Christ, when you come to Christ, he says, I've got another answer, another response. I've got another way for handling those situations. So it takes 18 months of yieldedness to the process of Christ because you've got to get one set of beliefs out of you. And that takes a while, depending on, again, your species as predefined. And then you've got to get another set of beliefs in you. That's just the beginning. Those beliefs cause you to change your habits. And once you start to do life differently, like the rhythms and patterns of God's word and the way he's designed the body of Christ to live and thrive together, then it changes your behaviors. Like you just are different. You have become the butterfly just because you've trusted, you've embraced, and you've humbled up through the process of metamorphosis. Are you with me today? Amen. Amen. And so you need to know where you are. You need God's vision, though, for your life, or God's vision in general for the church, in order to know that you were created. You are created to reproduce. Proverbs 29:18 says this. If I can do it, if you'll let me. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. I have no vision for my life. I don't know where I'm going. And it's hard to have vision for your life whenever you're a species that's unwilling to be humble, submitted, yielded, teachable, and trusting the process of God. They can't see themselves. They can't see what God is doing. They stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, all throughout God's word, he's revealed his plan for humanity. He's revealed his plan for you. He's revealed his plan for the body of Christ. He's revealed his plan for others through you, because God works not only independently and providentially, but he also works through you as the body of Christ. Otherwise, he wouldn't need you, but he does. He calls, he chooses to. And when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And this is why D.L. Moody, I don't know if you ever heard of him. If you have a book of his, you should read it. It's really good. It says, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at something that really doesn't matter. And I think because of the species types, a lot of times we're trying to achieve and we're trying to find success in things that really don't matter. Because what matters is eternity. What matters is eternal things. What matters is eternal purpose. Now, you can continue to do, most of you, not all of you, exactly what you're doing and turn it into an eternal matter. It's how you live and how you develop what's in you and around you for the sake of the kingdom of God. And this is why we are here as Thrive. This is us. This is who we are, to get the lost people saved, to save people pastored, the pastored people trained or discipled. They need to be discipled. We needed to be discipled. This is the process of metamorphosis, and trained people or discipled people mobilize. This is making a difference. This is where your butterfly. This is your butterfly season right here. But you can't rest a butterfly season until you've been pastored and trained, of course, after being saved. So you may be in the transitional process, this transformational process. Man, maybe I need to be pastored a little bit more. Maybe not need to yield to pastoring or training. Maybe I need more training in my life from those who are doing the work of the ministry already, or those who are equipped to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Maybe I need more pastoring. Maybe I need more training. And so it takes vision to understand what it is that God has already laid out. Not my will, but thy will be done. And it takes every believer moving forward in their metamorphosis to accomplish God's vision. Because why we exist is for God's vision. He'll give you little baby visions. And in our pride, we'll think, well, I've got the big vision. My purpose is the purpose. No. You're just like, you got a little bitty baby purpose that fulfills his purpose if it's God-given purpose. And so Mark 16 says this, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To preach the gospel, we're getting lost saved. Look at the vision. Preach the gospel, get the lost saved, he says. He says, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. This is where he's saying, hey, now we need to get them pastored. We need to change some beliefs because their beliefs are off. So we need to get them pastored. We need to get them saved. We need to get them pastored. And these signs will follow those who believe. Now they're talking about training. Now we need to get the pastored people trained, because these signs, because of their training and their pastoring and their transformation, the metamorphosis they've gone through and they're going through, they will start to see the fruit of that work flowing through them. Now they're trained, and the disciples went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through them, accompanying signs A to the men. Amen. This is good news. The trained are now mobilized, and guess what God does with the trained and mobilized, because they've submitted and yielded to pastoring and they've gone through that metamorphosis transformation and they didn't rush the process. God developed a humble heart inside of them. Now they're trained, mobilized, and then Jesus says, that's some people I can do some life with. And now, because you're so humble anyway, because you trust the process and you trust the vision of God and you yielded the vision to God and you got outside of yourself, the digestion, you got over yourself, now God can get in you. And he can clean up anything he needs to clean up in the process, and he can walk alongside you. In reality, once you get to that point, you realize, I'm not really doing it. I'm just walking this thing out that God's putting on my heart, and he's the one doing it. That's the butterfly land. Wildflowers and butterflies. Another way to say it is this. Therefore, this is in Exodus 6:6-7. This is literally speaks the very same thing. So I'm trying to show you God's word, God's vision all through his word. It says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from the yoke of the Egyptians. Meaning, I'm going to bring you out of bondage. I'm going to bring you out of bondage, a place of bondage, salvation. I'm bringing you out of bondage, right? All right, and then it says, from under the yoke of slavery of the Egyptians, I will free you from being the slaves to them. Now I got to get bondage out of you. I got you out of the environment of bondage, but you brought it into my environment still in bondage. In your heart, in your mind, in your caterpillarness, your asp, you know, the little... Your asp is carrying bondage. Now I got to get the bondage out of you. Freedom. This is where we get them saved, get them free. And now I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. You know, to redeem something is to bring it back to his original intended form. Meaning, before Christ, before Adam and Eve, before the fall, before any crookedness and brokenness, he says, I will redeem you. I will redeem you. I will cause you to be fruitful and multiply. My original command will come and take place if you'll allow the process and if you'll walk my vision out. It will happen because that's who he is. He's a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. I will redeem you. Now I'm connecting to my God-given purpose with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. He's not judging you. He's creating, he's causing miracles to work in front of you. He is showing you that he is doing the work for you, through you, and in you all at the same time. He says, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. This is good news because now I'm making a difference just walking with the Lord. It makes it really easy. It makes it really easy. Ministry shouldn't be hard. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. This is when you'll really know who Christ is in you. You'll experientially know who Christ is in you. These are called the four cups. Isaiah 61, 1 and 4. Let me just keep giving you God's vision for your life and for the church, okay? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our Lord, our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Oh man, come on, that's what I want. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Boy, this is good news. God is calling some things out to proclaim the good news. This is intimacy with Jesus. When you have the good news has been proclaimed to you and the good news is all up in you, you know how we say sometimes? You have been introduced to the real Jesus because relationship has become very important. This is when you become, when loving God and loving others becomes important, because you can't really love God and not love others, because God is all about others. And some of us are like, man, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. You got a but his body mentality. I love everything about Jesus but his body. You can't. It's an oxymoron. It makes no sense. It's a double standard. So you can't love God, you can't love Jesus, and not love others, which means there may be a need for him to bind up your broken heart. He binds up the brokenhearted. And this is where we find freedom. And we do this through tribes and Freedom Conference. Our Freedom Conference supports everything we do. Freedom Conference supports tribes. Tribes is the most important part of your transformational, your metamorphosis process, because it's the imaginal disc. It's the place where you can get in a group of others, in a small group, who are going the same direction you desire to go, and you're imagining a different world than what you came from with Jesus as the center of that imagination. Because vision causes me to believe new things over the old things. And when vision causes me to believe new things, then I start to apply habits that change my life and propel the transformation, the metamorphosis process, so that my behaviors just changed. Can I say, for so long in the church, we've worked on just behavior, just being good little boys and girls. You just need to change your behavior. You need to change how you act. You need to change those things. Well, I can't. They can't, because their beliefs are still as broken as they were when they came to Christ. Change the beliefs, change the habits, change the behaviors. That's why when worship night, we had all these little feral kids running around here with their flags and stuff having fun. No way were we going to say, you need to behave correctly. The last thing I want them to do is behave correctly. I want their little hearts to be worshiping Jesus with everything that they are. Now let their belief towards Jesus start to be developed and created, and then Jesus will begin to shape their beliefs, which will shape their habits, which will shape their behavior forever. Some of you need to probably get a little feral, like for Jesus, though. Not just, you know, change your feral from old beliefs to Jesus beliefs. You know, just tip the cup a little bit. Tip the cup. Okay, bestow on them beauty instead of ashes. This is where we start to connect to purpose. Next step, that's why we have our next steps experience, like in second service today. That's why we have our next step experience, so you can actually find that place of beauty for your life, because so many of us are just carrying ashes, just walking out the ash life. They rebuild the ancient ruins. And let me just tell you, that's others. When you start to, because you have been restored through the metamorphosis process and you've butterflied it up, now you're going around and you're causing, look, you know what a butterfly does? Pollinates. It reproduces and pollinates, reproduces and pollinates. It's all about making things grow, multiplying, being fruitful, multiplying, and that's when you're rebuilding the ancient ruins. I don't know if y'all are like this as much as I do. I love it. Colossians 1:28 and 29 says, He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone. You know what your body, your responsibility as a member in Christ is to not only become mature, but your whole role is to help others be presented fully mature in Christ. How well, on a scale of 1 to 10, are you doing in your maturity process and you're maturing others? Don't answer. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So he says, proclaim Christ to them, admonish them, means to kind of teach them. And, you know, culture's about what you teach, what you disciple or discipline, and what you allow. If you just keep allowing that stuff, it's going to become part of culture. So they need a little admonition. The word says to admonish them. If they don't like it, they can take it up with him, but you are being obedient to the point of Christ. Admonish them, teach them, present them fully mature. This is God's vision for the body of Christ. And if your God, I love this, Timothy Keller, he passed away this year. If your God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshiping an idolized version of yourself. Can I just call everybody forward for prayer right now? And Ephesians 1 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Come on. The riches of his glory and inheritance in his people. This screams out, introducing Jesus, finding freedom, connecting to purpose, and making a difference. You know what your inheritance is in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God? It's other people, their lives being transformed because of your work in them. So we're here. We're here. And we're here to introduce Jesus, find freedom, connect to purpose, and make a difference. Let me talk about that real quick. Introduced to Jesus. We need to be introduced to Jesus. People need to be introduced to Jesus. And Luke 15 says this, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven for one sinner who repents than over all those people who think they don't need to come forward for prayer ever. Reaching the lost is our primary purpose. The whole purpose of this right here is to bring people who do not come here into this place. We create services that both the churched and the unchurched enjoy. Why? Because it's about the Holy Spirit falling on them and bringing them to Jesus. The whole purpose in what we do. Acts 15:19 says, "It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God." It should not be complicated for a lost person to get saved. It should not be complicated for a new believer to get plugged in to a church. It should not be complicated to understand the importance and the value of church membership, because it comes with shepherding, with covering, with protection, with guidance, with everything necessary to endure and persevere and be encouraged through the metamorphosis process. Finding freedom. We're here to find freedom. James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Real life change happens in the context of relationships. Connect to purpose. 3, Romans 12:6 says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Your gift is necessary for the body of Christ. It's necessary. You have gifts that have been given to you to be used in the body, to grow the body, to further the kingdom, to influence people who are not yet in the body. That's why you've been saved. You have not been saved to sit. You've been saved to serve. Here's how serving others serves you. Service stimulates the brain's pleasure pathways and makes you feel good. Like you ever show up, like, "I didn't want to get there, but when I got there, I enjoyed kind of serving other people." Because you took you off your mind. It was no longer, your life was no longer about you. It feels good to help. Helping others is contagious and improves other people's lives. When you make a difference, it becomes contagious. 3, compassion found through serving makes you a better and happier person. 4, compassion found through serving builds stronger social connections. That's why we want every person in a group and a team. A group and a team. A tribe and serving on a go team. You need community. Around here, that's where you get your pastoring, in your small group community, in your team, from your team. That's where you have community. Compassion found through serving improves your physical health too. Amen to that. Ephesians 4:11 says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service." My role is to equip people for works of service. Our staff role, to equip people for the works of service. Now, when I'm not in my role assigned, I am to do the work of the ministry. When I leave these walls, when I'm out in the atrium, I am also doing the work of the ministry, loving others with my gifts. How I serve the church, how I serve the body is right here in this setting. The ministers lead and the people minister. You're the people. We're here to equip you, pastor you, train you so that you can live in butterfly land. So you can become all God created you to be. All right, let me just finish this up. To make a difference, butterfly land. John 15:8 said, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." You're a disciple if you're bearing much fruit, and it glorifies the Father. "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." And it may be that you're not joyful in your life because you're really not bearing fruit and glorifying God, because you're not utilizing the gifts that God has given you to bear much fruit. Amen, Pastor Nathan. But let me give you an opportunity to join in with us so that you can help us as a church, as a body, to bear much fruit. Let me give you a list of missions items, giving items, because we're going on a mission trip October 12th. We actually have 2 missions teams, one going to Honduras, one going to Brazil. That's pretty cool in October. That is huge. In October, team going to Honduras have a list of items we need your help with to acquire so that we can take. So let me give you this list. Whiteboard, markers, That should be whiteboard markers. Put those two together, whiteboard markers, calculators. I marked out big rulers because let me tell you how easy this is. We had this meeting on Tuesday. I needed the list. Tuesday, we're talking about the mission trip. It's already been planned. I walk out of here, the first place I go to, first business I go to, I see big rulers right there near the cash register. I walked up to the cash register after buying the things that I was going to for myself. I said, hey, no is a perfect answer, but we just got out of a meeting, and so it's on my mind, and I noticed you have those big rulers over there. The school that we minister to in Honduras is a mountain village, and they requested some big rulers. What are the odds of you being able to donate some big rulers for us to be able to take to Honduras in October? Let me call the manager. I said the same spiel. She said, when do you need them by? October 9th. She said, okay, I think we'll have those taken care of. It's that easy. So mark out that. But we have a little bit over 100 kids in this school in a mountain village who would die to have anything that you could possibly give. And we asked that they be name brand. So if it's whiteboard markers, it's Expo. If it's crayons, it's Crayola. Because brand also speaks something to the individual, a value to the individual in whom you're giving those to. Scissors, math games, costumes of any size, any kid size, from this tall to this tall. It doesn't matter. Just this tall to this tall is good. You don't need to know which size. Don't let that be a stumbling block to you. Most all Hondurans are only this tall anyway, except for my father-in-law. But this tall to this tall. Soccer balls, high quality soccer balls, because usually by the time we leave the field, they're already broken if they're cheap. Those kids can kick a ball. Multivitamins, acetaminophen, and money to buy the supplies there once we get there, other supplies that are just too heavy to ship over with us. There's a QR code outside. You can always go to your giving platform to do that as well. And so I want you to help us to bear fruit while in Honduras. This is your opportunity to join in. But I'm going to give some of you others another opportunity, because just like I talked about, the metamorphosis stage takes about 18 months. You may find you realize that I'm there, and I've been there for a long time, and I need a way out of there. I don't want to rush the process. I want to trust the process. So I want to invite you into another group with me. You can do both at the same time. But outside, we have this amazing book. It's called What's Next? Super simple read. In fact, Terry's going to take a small group, a tribe, through this book over this semester. But I want to make this available for every one of you who are ready to make a commitment today to say, hey, I want to start my metamorphosis process right now, today, and you can let us know that so we can pastor you and be with you. If you'll text Thrive Next Steps, all one word, Thrivenextsteps, just like that, to 9400. Text that, 9400. Go out in the atrium on your way out, grab a book, let us know so that we can pastor you, we can train you so you can be mobilized and you can get out of this chrysalis, caterpillar soup, transformational season of your life so that you can live in butterfly land. Come on. All right, that's all I get. Can I pray for you? Can we just pray? Wasn't this a fun message? I mean, it's a fun series we're going into. I can tell you right now. So, Lord, I just ask that you bring awareness to every person in the body of Christ, that you bring awareness to us of where we are in the transformational process, that you bring an understanding, Holy Spirit. What is it that you would have for us to do? What next steps do you have for each person in this series? What would you like for us to commit to trust a process, to endure, to persevere through? What group would you have us join? What team would you have us join? Where can I become a functional member of the body of Christ for you in this season? And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you speak directly to all hearts, that you eliminate any fears, that you remove any worries, any doubts, and any concerns. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen, amen.